It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. We'll hear from Veterans Affairs Secretary who took over the VA a year ago.
My goal was to calm the place down. This place had been buffeted by some very chaotic leadership.
That conversation is coming right up here on West Virginia Morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. On June 6th, the 2019 Veterans Affairs Mission Act went into effect. It makes emergency and specialized care available to more U.S. veterans. The act promises to provide less red tape and greater satisfaction and predictability for veterans. The legislation passed through Congress easily with broad bipartisan support, and President Trump signed it into law. Robert Wilkie, the Veterans Affairs Secretary since last July, took over the VA during significant turmoil. He spoke over the phone with Eric Douglas to discuss changes to the VA and the challenges the organization faces.
Tell me, what do you feel are some of your greatest accomplishments in this first year?
My goal, Eric, was to calm the place down. This place had been buffeted by some very chaotic leadership. It had been buffeted by bad news stories. I think morale was low. So calming the place down and creating a vision for reform as we head into this new century.
What do you hope to accomplish moving forward? The Mission Act, I'm sure, is the top of the list.
Well, the Mission Act is working well, and let me tell you what it does. It says that for the first time, our veterans will be on the same plane as their friends in the private sector, and that we open up urgent care for them. We can keep them out of emergency rooms, and we can get them into the same places that their friends and neighbors are with urgent care. The other thing that it does is it says if VA cannot provide a veteran with a medical service, let's just pick one, let's pick rheumatology, then we will provide that veteran the opportunity to find that service in the private sector, and we will get that veteran to that facility. So it opens up the window on choice, and the legislation was very clear. It said that veterans' health is at the center of everything that we do. It's right there in the first section, which means that the prerogatives of the institution, of VA or the unions or anyone else, takes a second place to what the veteran needs to be healthy.
Obviously, one of the biggest problems facing veterans today is the high suicide rate and,
yes,
and mental health issues, especially
right,
upon returning home from deployment.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about what the VA is doing to identify those veterans
right,
who are at risk and or who are struggling with PTSD.
Well, one thing happened yesterday. The president allowed me to kick off his National Task Force on Suicide Prevention, which for me, focuses the entire government on this preventable tragedy, which means I bring together not only VA, but DOD, HHS, HUD, and the National Institutes of Health to create a research foundation, foundational research to look at this, as well as opening the door on grants to the states and localities and to private organizations, charities, to help us find those veterans who are out there. Right now, about two-thirds of the veterans who take their lives every day are not part of the VA system. And the majority of those are from the Vietnam era, my father's era, which means in many cases they've had problems building up for 50 years.
As you know, I mean, the whole world knows we're struggling with an opioid epidemic.
Yes.
Many veterans struggle with chronic pain.
Yes.
Just the physical toll of serving,
not
necessarily even combat, but
yeah,
just the hard work of being a soldier. Is the VA changing? How are you changing
Absolutely.
The VA to
absolutely? You know, the problem with opioids. And I'll take a step back and take the premise of your question. You're absolutely right. We serve patients who are in many instances like professional athletes. They come to us after a lifetime of trauma to the body. My own father, after 30 years of war wounds, jumping out of airplanes, needed two new knees, two new hips, had a bad back, and had lead in his body that they had not been able to take out from wounds in Cambodia. So that's somebody looking at a lifetime of pain, just like someone who'd been a lineman in the NFL for 14 or 15 years.
Right.
The tradition has been to treat the brain and not the pain. So we've been able to reduce opioid prescriptions at VA by 51% in the last year or so by substituting opioids with combinations of acetaminophen and aspirin, ibuprofen and aspirin. But we're also, and this is something that is being done in our two hospitals in West Virginia, we are offering alternative therapies, acupuncture, yoga, music therapy, Tai Chi.
Is there anything that you would like to talk about that we haven't covered?
West Virginia is a place where you don't have to explain military service to anybody. I was just in Martinsburg a few weeks ago. It was a glorious experience. And walking that hospital and talking to people, the support in the community. West Virginia is an important place for many reasons. As I said, one, everybody knows what military service is. You're on the front lines and combating some very serious problems, opioids and suicide. And if we can make things better in West Virginia, then it's much easier to make them better in the rest of the country.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to seeing how the rest of your tenure progresses.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie speaking to Eric Douglas about the Mission Act and the challenges facing the VA with suicide, opioids, and mental health issues. From time to time, we get curious about the names of places in Appalachia. What's the story behind certain names? Well, our recent Inside Appalachia episode focuses on alcohol, which, in a roundabout way, led us to Cooper's Rock, the state forest outside of Morgantown. Our Folklife reporter, Caitlin Tan, found there's a mystery there connected to bourbon and a fugitive life on the lam.
I'm standing on the giant rock overlook at Cooper's Rock. It's the spot best known in the state forest. The rock is about the size of a large living room. You can see for miles. It overlooks the Cheat River and the basin, and in every direction is the Appalachian Mountains covered in lush green trees. Jan Jerzak is the Cooper's Rock Park superintendent. He describes what we see to our left from the overlook.
Not a lot of lights. There's not a lot of stuff going on that direction.
And to the right,
we're looking at Morgantown. You can see the Morgantown Airport. You can see the water tower there and the long straight line. Beyond it, you can actually see the WVU Coliseum.
We walk over to the furthest corner of the rock. We can see the full forest below us with the Cheat River snaking its way through the valley. About 300,000 people come each year to see this view. And one of their main questions is, who is this man named Cooper?
Everyone thinks Cooper's Rock is like a rock named after someone named Cooper. I want to see Cooper's Rock.
It turns out he doesn't exist. There is no Cooper.
It's actually named after a profession, which is a cooper, someone who built barrels.
Like the barrels used for aging bourbon. The legend is that a fugitive cooper lived here in this forest in the early 1800s. He very likely hung out here at this overlook as the forest eventually became known as Cooper's Rock.
The legend states that there was an outlaw that lived in the forest and he would steal the lumber and would build barrels. Back in that day, there was a lot of commerce in the area. They were using timber to fuel the iron furnaces, early trade, things like that. So he would sell the barrels to them and make a living while living here on the forest illegally.
There's very little record on this outlaw, but it's not hard for Jan to imagine what he might have looked like.
I always picture him as just like your typical woodsman running around the woods, probably beard, probably, you know, just a bit dirty because hiding out. There's a few caves on the park that along the hill, so I predict he's probably in there and just someone you don't want to mess with, but also probably a good sense of humor. You have to have one to live out here and do what he did.
And that's the legend behind the name of Cooper's Rock State Forest. We might never know the exact details, but it's fun to imagine. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan at Cooper's Rock.
That story is part of a recurring segment featured on Inside Appalachia called What's in a Name? If there is a name of a place in Appalachia that you've been curious about, let us know at insideappalachia@wvpublic.org. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week comes from enchanting jazz and pop vocalist Kat Edmondson, who makes her third appearance on the show with songs on her album called Old Fashioned Gal. Accompanied by her band, here is Edmondson performing I'd Be a Fool.
How do you put the past away? How does the night forget about the day? So many things I want to say, but how do I get through? If you ever still think of me, if time has not erased my memory, would you accept an apology? So long overdue. I'd be a fool if for one second I thought you had been untrue. And then I told you we were through, and I no longer wanted you. I'd be a fool if I decided that what I needed to do was to go and hurt you too. That would be cruel.
That would be cruel.
And if you begged me not to go and told me that you love me so, I would be foolish not to turn around.
That was Kat Edmondson performing I'd Be a Fool, our Mountain Stage Song of the Week. You can hear more from the Mountain Stage when you tune in on Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the help of Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzlevich.